We're going to stick with the story about the photos of Osama bin Laden. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney just last hour read from a transcript of an interview with the president.
We've done DNA sampling and testing, and so there is no doubt that we killed Osama bin Laden. It is important for us to make sure that very graphic photos of somebody who was shot in the head are not floating around as an incitement to additional violence or as a propaganda tool. That's not who we are. We don't trot out this stuff as trophies. And I think that given the graphic nature of these photos, it would create some national security risk. And I've discussed this with Bob Gates and Hillary Clinton and my intelligence teams, and they all agree.
That's White House Press Secretary Jay Carney reading just this past hour from a transcript of a yet-to-be-aired interview that President Obama gave to CBS News. Well, Philip Gurevich supports the president's decision. In a piece he wrote for The New Yorker, he argues that releasing graphic photos of violence is, in general, a bad idea, and that releasing these specific photos might not have convinced the conspiracy theorists out there anyway. Well, do you agree with the decision not to release the photos? What difference would a photo make for you? We're at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation also on our website, npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Philip Gurevich is a staff writer for The New Yorker. He's also co-author of the book The Ballad of Abu Ghraib. His piece on the photos is called Don't Release the Photos, and he joins us now on the line from his home in Brooklyn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So I'm listening to the quotes from President Obama there, and it sounds like he's making some of the same arguments you would make not to release these photos.
Yeah, it does. I think particularly the question of trophy photographs and the nature of putting out photographs right now. My argument is particularly that it was a bad idea when it was discussed as a possibility that the White House would be releasing these pictures of Osama bin Laden's body, and specifically of his head, where the bullet wounds tore up his brow, as official releases by the government following what had been an excellently cool operation, I guess you could say. And what I mean by that is there had been so much swagger and so much gloating and so much boasting at different phases of the war on terror about how we were going to go and get him, that at this moment, when we actually went and got him, there was a very different tone being set. And to then suddenly go and essentially put the head of one's enemy on a stick and parade it around, that's what releasing the photographs is. And that's not, as President Obama said, that's not who we are. Well, it's certainly not who we would want to be. And I think it's a very good decision to hold them back. And saying that, I should also say that I assume that at some point they'll come out. There could easily be a Freedom of Information Act request that would force them into the public or so. But I think that would be very different from them being put out right after the event as an official White House act.
Well, now let me ask you about a couple of the points you make there. I mean, would it make a difference to you if these were somehow less gruesome photographs? You know, if this were a less disturbing image? It sounds like you're concerned about the image that is left in people's minds that 10 years from now will be what we conjure up when we think about this week.
No, it's not even simply that. I mean, I think that one of the what's the argument for doing it? Let's put it that way, because I can't see any good arguments for doing it. The arguments that are made for doing it are, above all, you hear people saying, well, it's good to have proof. But I don't think one has to take seriously people who doubt this. They're a relatively small number, and we haven't heard it from anybody who's an important or significant arbiter of reality. There might quite likely to be a large number of people who wouldn't believe it, even if they saw photographs that say they're propaganda, they're doctored.
They've been photoshopped or something like that.
Yeah, even with the birth certificate business we just went through with the president, belief is belief. It's not a question of seeing as believing at all times. And so I'm not convinced that either the photographs would serve adequately to dispel all of that. But also I think, well, why do we care that there are some people who don't necessarily believe it? What threat do they pose? What danger is that? And why should we be put in the position of catering to them? I don't see any reason for that. The second argument that's made is more often the idea that, and I find this a little peculiar, that we need greater closure, that it's not enough to be told he's dead, you have to see that he's dead. And this is an argument you hear primarily from Americans who believe, according to the polls or the sampling, that he is dead, but who would like the gratification, as it were, of seeing it. And that seems to me to be a kind of vengeful bloodlust that maybe entirely understandable, but doesn't seem to me to be something that the White House ought to be in the business of gratifying. And a kind of flip side of that is people who say, I want the people in Osama bin Laden's world or in his camp to see their icon destroyed and for them to have the visual experience of that. And again, that's like dragging the remains in front of people, again, as a kind of display or trophy to add to the vanquishing of this enemy. But if he's already dead, why try to kill him more with photographs? These don't seem to me to be noble causes, and they have no news value. They have no information value. They're not telling us something that we don't already know.
What about just a practical argument? You mentioned that these may leak someday. It does seem as though it's a reasonably large number of administration officials who have seen them at this point. If they're going to leak at some point anyway, wouldn't it be better for the administration to control how that happens when it happens?
No, because they can't control it. Once you release it, it's out.
But I mean, if it leaks, if this shows up to on WikiLeaks a week from now, is that any better?
From a political point of view, I would think that for the administration it is, because the administration has now made a judgment that this is not how they want to present this thing and who they want to be. If it gets out because on WikiLeaks, that is against their wishes, and it doesn't change our understanding of the information. But it means that it's not at this moment the President of the United States saying, here's what we did, and we need this to show who we are and to show what we did. And I think it's very important to keep in mind that when you put out images of violence that you've done, you're putting out an image of yourself. This raid was a projection of our image and of our power. It's how we projected our power all the way into Pakistan and finally got this guy. Very different from saying, as the past president did, we'll smoke them out of their holes, we'll get them wherever they are, we'll take the battle to them. Very quiet, very cool, no swagger, no gloating, but terrifyingly and relentlessly effective. That's part of the story that would get eclipsed by simply putting a picture that substitutes for it.
Our phones are lighting up with callers who want to weigh in on this and talk to you about it. Let me take a call from Jerry in Cookeville, Tennessee. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would just like to mention that I know the guy's dead, you know, and I'm glad they got him. And I really have no problem with them releasing the pictures. If I remember correctly, a lot of the news organizations, I'm sure the one that the young man there with you worked for, was all but happy to publish the pictures of Abu Ghraib, even though President Bush asked, these could do harm to our American troops. No, the American people need to see this. The American people need to know. But on this, no, we don't need to know. We might upset the Muslim world, and we might cause harm to the troops. I just find the hypocrisy unbelievable.
There's no hypocrisy whatsoever in it, because the key and absolutely crucial point here is, with the photographs from Abu Ghraib, there was news value. They told us something that we did not know. They told us they were unofficial photographs taken of policy being implemented by these American troops.
You don't think that could do harm to our American troops, though? As President Bush asked, this could do harm to the troops to release this, but they released them anyway?
He didn't say anything before the release. He had suppressed them, and they said that the photographs were criminal and that releasing them was criminal. But the question of whether or not the photographs have any value is what I'm saying. And I don't think that it's hypocrisy to say that in this case, the photograph of Osama bin Laden doesn't have any news value. It has only sensation value. It only creates a kind of intense sensation that replaces focusing on the details of the news story.
Well, this reminds me of journalism 80 years ago that would have been done by the Daily Worker or the New Masses, to be truthful with you.
By that you mean what, sir?
I have no idea what you mean.
Well, it's pretty easy to figure out, but anyway, thank you for taking my call.
We appreciate your call. Thanks for taking the time, Jerry. Lots more comments coming in. This is an email from Lynn in Bishop, California. She writes, not releasing the photos is the right decision. We would consider this barbarous if others did the same to, say, a U.S. military leader. No head on a stick, please. And let me take another caller. This is Deborah calling on the line from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Deborah.
Hello. I agree with the email and with the speaker. But my point is that no matter how evil we think Osama bin Laden is or was, he has children. And I think this would be a horrible sight for children, his children, to see, because they're innocent victims. And I know that's a very small minority of a very small number of people in this world, but they're still children, and I don't think they deserve, you know, or need to see this image of their father.
Philip Gurevich, this is an issue that often comes up, for example, with photographs in wartime. Is there some issue, even if you're talking about the world's worst terrorist, some sort of issue, respect for the family, they ought to be able to control postmortem images?
I think he decided to project an image of himself that involved a degree of appalling violence, and that he dragged his children into this. So I'm actually not concerned with the sensitivities of his children above all in this issue. It seems to me that, yes, it's very unfortunate that children of violent criminals are victims, I suppose, of their birthright and their inheritance to the degree that it exposes them to a lot of terrible things. But, you know, that's not really the issue here. The issue seems to me to be the person who sent in the email, for instance, touched on the question of what would we think if others did it. And, you know, the Geneva Convention makes the point that you're not supposed to, you know, trot out and parade prisoners or parade or expose to mockery or public humiliation, prisoners, and every culture has rules against the desecration of the dead. The idea being that to sort of display a body in a certain way is an added offense. It's not an extension of the killing. Now, there's a long history of this sort of thing being done. We did it in Iraq with Uday and Qusay, the sons of Saddam Hussein. And we also put out the photographs. This is perhaps the most analogous situation. When Saddam Hussein was captured and there were the American soldiers who had him, were shown sort of poking around in his mouth and going through his hair and searching his body.
Right.
That was considered very humiliating. I don't think it had any positive effect on any aspect of global opinion, either at home or abroad. So what I'm really saying is when a photograph doesn't has a way of creating this kind of very negative sensation, it's as much about the image of yourself that you're projecting as of your enemy that you've defeated that you're projecting.
Okay.
That you've chosen to do this as an official release.
Deborah, you were about to say, you agree with that? Deborah? Oh, we've lost Deborah. Thanks very much to her for calling from Kansas City. More email coming in. This is from Eric, and he writes, they are not trophy photos. They are proof for the world. They should be released for the same photos that photos and medical documentary evidence were released of Uday and Qusay Hussein, the Saddam Hussein's two sons that you just mentioned, Philip. Eric, the emailer, goes on to write, the argument that only unserious people would doubt this is ridiculous. In the mind of bin Laden supporters, the USA has every reason to fabricate this evidence. More documentary evidence is the response to conspiracy theorists, not total suppression. Philip Gurevich, you were making the point that conspiracy theorists might not buy that this was really bin Laden, no matter what the U.S. does. On the other hand, we've seen how much damage conspiracy theories can do in places like Pakistan when they get out of control. They end up hampering diplomatic cooperation, intelligence cooperation. This is a tool the U.S. could use. What's your response to this email?
I'm really not that persuaded by the argument that the biggest problem with releasing these photographs is that it will rile up al-Qaeda people and inspire them to be terrorists. They are terrorists, right? I mean, there's a sort of strange notion that, my goodness, if we don't prove to them that we've killed Osama bin Laden, they'll believe in him. They already believe in him, and if they plan to continue believing in him, his death will or won't dissuade them, not because we show them photographs, but because he's not there. He'll never give them another message. He'll never speak again. He'll never walk again. Obama said in this interview, you will never see Osama bin Laden walking the face of this earth. And I think that's pretty significant, and a claim about somebody's death. So I think the idea that we believe photographs, but we won't believe anything else, is odd. I don't understand why that should suddenly be the only acceptable standard of proof. And what we're in is a very odd situation, which I don't really think there's been a case like this before, where the White House, in other words, the American government, has photographs of this nature. They control them exclusively, and they, in a sense, let everybody know that they're considering putting them out. So we're having this debate even without seeing the photographs. And now we have a decision from the president that he is not going to be responsible for releasing these photographs. So I think the argument that we need these as proof because it will somehow either prevent them from people who would be terrorists from becoming terrorists, or we need them to be careful about them because it will create terrorism, I don't think that's the real issue here.
All right. That's Philip Gurevich, a staff writer for The New Yorker and co-author of The Ballad of Abu Ghraib, Standard Operating Procedure. His piece ran in The New Yorker yesterday. It was called Don't Release the Photos, and President Obama just might have been reading it because that's the announcement we have just gotten today. They will not be releasing the photos of bin Laden's body. Philip Gurevich, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
We've got a link to his piece on our website. That's at npr.org. You can click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, it was 50 years ago that hundreds of men and women, black and white, boarded public buses and took the civil rights movement deep into the heart of the segregated South. We'll talk about the achievements of the Freedom Riders, and Neil Conan will be back for that conversation. You've been listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mary Louise Kelly in Washington.